Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I will read for your hearing verses 5 through 8, but I'll only preach about verse 6. Amen? Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Jesus says here, "But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." As you take your seats once again, shut the door. Shut the door. When I was a little boy, and I can still hear my mother's voice ringing in my ears. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Sometimes it was my daddy's voice. It'd go something like this: "Shut that door." Now, why would they want that door shut? "You're letting flies in." Or how about this one? "You letting my heat out." But there was always a reason for that voice that says, "Shut the door." Well, God's word says to us, shut the door. Shut out those things that will interfere in our lives. Shut out those things that become hindrances and encumbrances to our prayer. And get alone with God. Today we're going to talk about specifically some of the rewards of private prayer. Some of the rewards of spending that quality alone time with God. Jot these down. There's five of them, and I'll give them to you, and then we're going to talk about them here briefly in a moment. Jot down the word power. Jot down the word provision. Jot down the word presence. Jot down the word peace. And then fifthly, jot down the word purpose. These are five areas that are not limited to all how God rewards us in terms of prayer, but these are important in the life of every believer. Well, we know that prayer requires more than just the rattling of the tongue, amen? But prayer must be fervent. Prayer must be word-centered. Prayer must be desiring the things that God desires. Prayer must be sincere and from the heart. Sometimes if you're not careful, when you hear public speaking or public preaching and things like that, everything done from done from a public platform, you think sometimes if you're not careful that in order for you to be effective, you have to be as eloquent as the people that you're listening to. Or you have to be as sharp, you have to be as astute, you have to have their mannerism, and you have to have their cadence and their tone and all these other things. And no, what you have to do is be you, okay? That's important. Your heart has to be centered on the things of God and the things that God desires and requires of all of us as a believer. Remember, our relationship with God is a personal relationship. And so we want to get alone with God and spend personal and quality time with God. So that means we have to carve out some spaces, and those spaces are many. We looked at those, but we have to carve out some spaces and some times in our lives where we just get alone with God. Now, what does that closet look like? Well, it could be a room in your home. It could be just some particular space in your home. It could be your back porch, front porch, side porch, garage, wherever it might be. But carve out some space and some time where you and I can get alone with God and talk to Him one-on-one. And remember, I said this, and if you do this, you'll discover this. It's embarrassing talking to God one-on-one. You know why? Because, see, there's the place where we tell Him all about our troubles. That's where we share the intimacies of our heart. He already knows them, but He needs to hear from you, and He needs to hear from me, and He needs to hear from us one-on-one. Nobody there but you and God. I challenge you in your walk of faith to do that and watch God do some amazing things in your life because of your commitment to trust Him and to come to Him on a regular basis in these moments called prayer. Prayer becomes for us then the language of dependence. That's humbling, isn't it? You know, we don't like to declare dependence publicly, much less privately. But God desires to hear from us how much, listen, how much we want to depend upon Him for answers and for direction and for solutions and for means and attitudes in which we may live our lives and conduct our lives in a way that's pleasing in His sight. You know, we're all human beings in that we want what we want, and there are times when we do what we want to do, and because of us wanting what we want and doing what we want to do, we reap terrible consequences as a result of that. Private prayer points us in the direction of God and God alone. Now, I love this. I ran across this, and my friends, this is worth sharing. Dr. Robert A. Cook penned this phrase when it comes to prayer. I love this. Listen to this. Dr. Cook says, all of us have one routine prayer in our system. One routine prayer in our system. He says, but once we get rid of it, then we can really start to pray. I love that. That routine prayer, that old same old prayer that really doesn't have any meaning in your life, that same old prayer that you recite and you don't really mean it. You just say it because it gets you through a moment in your life called prayer. In other words, he says, get the routine and the mundane things out of the way and get serious about God, and then you're really ready to pray. Get transparent with God and understand that God has rewards for those who are willing to do so. Now, let me take you back to verse 6, Matthew chapter 6. The thing I want you to underline in your Bibles, if you have a habit of doing that, some people say, I don't mark on my Bible because that's God's word. My friend, God's not going to spank you if you mark in your Bibles, okay? Underline the word reward. It's at the very end of verse 6. That last part of verse 6 says, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The reward of prayer is open blessings. God sees in secret when it comes to private prayer, but the Bible says that He rewards openly. And that presence of God in our lives is unmistakable. There's no doubt about what God will do in our lives, but you have to be careful about some things because we can get it all messed up. Now, there are some parameters about this business of prayer that you and I need to know. If you know this, praise God. If you don't, praise God anyway. For instance, look in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. And hopefully we'll put these up on the screen where you can see them. Now, watch this. These are some parameters that you need to be careful about when it comes to prayer. And watch this. Jesus says, in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now be careful because, see, on first reading, you'll find yourself saying, well, the Bible says that all I do is believe what I'm praying and God will give it to me. No, you have to understand the context of that. Earlier in that chapter, Jesus talked about how you can say to a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Well, Jesus is not literally talking about taking a mountain from its location, and because of your prayer life, you can cause it to be cast in the sea. Jesus is saying, just as that is impossible from a human perspective, when you and I learn to pray in the will of God, God will move on behalf of the person who is praying in that will. Now, contextually speaking, relative to Matthew chapter 21, Jesus was talking about the joy of the disciples, having their joy restored because he had talked to them about the fact that he's going to be leaving in a while. They're going to become devastated. He says, ask in my name. Ask according to my will, and your prayers will be answered. Now, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 24. Now, here's another parameter that you might want to think about when it comes to prayer. Jesus says here, he says, here too, he says, have you asked nothing in my name? He says, ask and ye shall receive that your joy might be full. Is Jesus talking about asking anything? Is Jesus talking about wanting anything? He ain't just anything I ask God, he's going to give it to me? No, we know better than that. Effective private prayer, listen, is about being transparent with God. It's about being open with God. It's about declaring before God, not that he doesn't know, but you and I declare before God who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, and give him the debts of our souls. See, some people in prayer life, they act as though everything is all right. God, I got a couple of things I want to run by you, and then I'll get on about my business. Some people say this, I know you're busy. God is never too busy for you. God doesn't have this agenda where he has to pencil you in, put you on hold, get back with you later. That's corporate America. We're talking about heaven here. He's got time for everybody at the same time in all circumstances and in all situations. But when we pray in private prayer, pray according to the will of God. Now, how will you know the will of God without the word of God? That's why it's important to study our word. Now, finally, I want you to turn to one other passage of scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. Now, watch what the epistle says here. This is critical here. We're talking about praying now, getting along with God. The Bible says, now, this is the confidence that we believers have in him. Watch this. It says that if we ask anything, how? According to his will, he hears us. See, a lot of prayer is not being heard because it's not the will of God. It's not God's concern on our part. But when we ask, we have the confidence of knowing that he hears us. Now look at verse 15. That's verse 14. Put verse 15 up there. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire to him. In other words, when we know we're praying in the will of God, and when we know that God hears us praying in the will of God, we have the confidence in knowing that God will answer that prayer. But does he answer it in our time and in our space? No. God has his own timetable. Remember, prayer is yes, no, and wait. But the whole idea is that when we learn to pray what God desires, watch God move in your life. Prayer is not to be stingy. Prayer is not really about you. Prayer is not really about me. Prayer is really not about us. It's about him. It's about what he desires to do in the life of the believer. Now, quickly, think about the reward of power. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, here's a benediction, actually, that's taken out of Scripture. Now unto him. Who is him? God, Jesus. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a lot of people that will read that passage of scripture, claim that passage of scripture, cut and paste that passage of scripture on their prayer as if though God is honored to honor that prayer. My friend, go back and look at it again. The Bible says, now unto him who is able, that's God, and this is what he can do. Not only can he do the things that we asked of him, but the Bible says that he can do abundantly and above all that we could ever do, two things, all that we could ever ask, did you see that? And also all that we could ever think. God has no limits. The things that we even asked of him according to his will are not beyond his capability. But then there's an interesting phrase there that says, according to the power that worketh in us. What is the power that works in the believer? Is it because you attend church? Is it because you're nice? Is it because all your friends like you? Is it because you know you're a good, outstanding member of the community? The power that is at work in the believer is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. You got people praying and asking God for things, and watch this, folks. It's never going to happen. You know why? Because they are yet to give their heart to God. Some private prayer is nothing but bargaining time with God. God, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. My friend, that's not even biblical prayer. The Bible says that God can do. Listen, when you are in a state of desiring God, when you are in a state of wanting God's power in your life, and you may have huge circumstances, you may have insurmountable circumstances, you may have situations that you can't see, it is possible for anything to take place unless God does it. God gives us the assurance that if it is in his will and if it is according to his will, he can not only do it, but he can do above and beyond what we asked or think. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God I want to pray to. Amen. So a proper idea of prayer is to pour out our souls, desiring to know him, desiring to love him, and desiring to serve him. And the power that God gives, the strength, is to be dependent upon God and not live independently of God. So many people, you know, they, like I said earlier, they carve God out of certain areas in their lives, you know. Okay, when it comes to this God, I got that. I don't need you here. When it comes to this God, I don't need you there. Here's where I really need you. When you start spending private time in God, you'll be surprised at the areas where you need him the most. And oftentimes, those were the areas where you thought you had it all together. Strength to love. Power to love, power to learn, power to persevere, power to pursue, power to trust. A lot of people say, I trust you, God, as long as everything's going my way. The power to trust is to trust God regardless. You see, people have basically three kinds of faith. Watch this. People have what you call if faith. If faith says this, if you do this, God, then this is what I'll do. And if you do this, God, this is what I'll do. People have this if faith. See the bargaining atmosphere there? And then some people have what's called when faith. When I see this taking place in my life, I'll know you at work, Lord. When I see this going into my life, Lord, that's when I'll trust you more. When I see tangible results, Lord, then that's when I'll start doing more. See, if and when is condition, and you're setting the conditions in that prayer. Now, here's the third kind of faith. It's called regardless. Regardless faith says, Lord, I trust you regardless of my circumstance. I trust you regardless of what's going on. I trust you regardless of what I'm up against. I trust you regardless of my health. I trust you regardless of my financial well-being or the lack thereof. I trust you regardless of the enemy. I trust you regardless of what's going on, because at the end of the day, you're in charge. Power to love, power to learn, power to persevere, power to trust. Ephesians 6 and 10 would put it this way. Finally, my brethren, he's talking to the church, be strong in the Lord, and here it is, the power of his might. Not yours, not mine, not ours, but his. Be strong in the power of his might. And to realize such blessings and power requires that we spend time with God in secret prayer. Now, secondly, not only is there the reward of power, there's the reward of provision. Let me give you a principle. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, this is what Jesus said. Jesus had just got through talking about lilies of the field. He just got through talking about birds of the air, how they don't worry about their meals, where they get them from, and the lilies don't make themselves pretty. As a matter of fact, the lilies don't even concern themselves about being cute. They just know they're cute by nature. And they know the nature that they're cute by is God makes them happen. Jesus went on to say that Solomon in all his glory was not as cute as these lilies. And they don't worry about where their cuteness comes from. And so what he's doing is he's warning the disciples about worrying. Now watch what he says. He says in verse 33, chapter 6, it says, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. That's what he says to believers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Two things. The kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, people losing their minds over things that God is going to take care of. Worrying about this and worrying about that and worrying about this and worrying about that. And the Bible teaches an interesting principle here. It says, the birds in the air don't even worry about where their next meal's going to come from. They just know what's going to happen. The lilies of the field don't even be concerned about their beauty. They just know that they're going to be adorned in beauty because of the God of their beauty. How much more should we learn from that principle that God rewards the praying believer with blessings of provision? The believer needs material blessings. The believer needs spiritual and material needs met day by day. God knows that. But we're not called to worry. We're called to pray. We're not called to worry. We're called to trust. We're not called to worry. We're called to be transparent before God and allow him to speak to our lives. No one knows our deepest need better than God himself. So therefore, there has to be some place, remember, sometime in our life where we get away with God. And you know, it's amazing how sometimes in the Christian arena people say, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but I just don't have time. Wait a minute now, wait a minute. 24 hours a day. And the God of those 24 hours a day is your God. And you say you don't have time? My friend, I want to suggest to you, it's not that you don't have time, you don't make time. Because we make time at the end of the day for what's important to us. And prayer should be important. Carve out that space. Carve out that time. And understand that the rewards of prayer are provisions. God meets our needs. God knows our needs. There should be some place in which we resort to where no ear can hear him. No ear can hear us talking to him rather than God's ear. There needs to be a place where we can pour out our soul before God and nobody hears but God. That's private prayer. There must be a place where we can pour out our soul to God and nobody hears but God. Evidence that it's done, evidence that he hears, evidence that it's in his will is the reward of blessings. And one of those blessings certainly is the blessing of provision. Unless there is such a place, secret prayer will not be realized because we refuse to shut the door. Too many of our lives are open, okay? Watch this. Now, we're private people. Watch this. Let me give you a principle. Some of us are real private in our lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. Watch this. Some people say, I don't want everybody knowing my business. Well, I applaud you on that. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Some people say, I don't share all my business with people. I don't think you should do that. I think that's awesome. You should do that. But watch this, folks. You should share everything with God. But you know what some people say? Nah, I don't know about all that. Well, my friend, let me tell you something. Let me get some breaking news for you. He already knows. He already knows everything there is to know about everything. He's just wanting to hear from us one-on-one and let him work it out. One of the great rewards of prayer is provision. Now, here's the third one. There is the reward of power, the reward of provision. There is the reward of presence. Knowing. I got to know. You have to know. God, are you with me? It's hot. It's heavy. It's heating up in my life. Have you abandoned me? Am I all alone? Have you walked away from me? The moment I decided to trust you, it is as if the all you know what is breaking out in my life. I need to find you. Are you here? And God's word to the believer says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Here's a principle. The Bible says to the believer, watch this. To the believer, there has no temptation taken you such as common to man. In other words, everybody goes through temptations and all those kind of things, and the Bible says you're no different than anybody else. It says, but, I love this, but God is what? Faithful. Always faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Because you're going through temptation doesn't mean that you don't have the presence of God in your life. He's there. And some people say, you know, the devil's just making me do. The devil's not making you do nothing. Right. Hear me. When it comes to the believer, I'm not talking about lost folk. I'm talking about saved folk. The devil doesn't make you do anything. If you're failing as a believer in Christ Jesus, it's because you choose to fail. The Bible says that God is faithful. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Now watch this. God is faithful, verse 13, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He knows what you're able to handle. And it says, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear. Some people say, well, you know, I'm going through these temptations, man, and I just don't know what to do. God says, here's the way you need to go, right here. Nah, I don't think that's going to, I see that, but I don't. Well, my friend, you've already answered yourself. God makes a way to escape. Now, what's our responsibility? Take the way of escape. Some people say, well, you know, there's a lot of things on television that tempts me. God says, I got a way of escape for you. Turn it off. There are certain programs I watch, God, it just messes me up. God says, I got a way of escape for you. Here it is. Don't look at it. Change your programming. You know, God, when I'm around certain people, I just get tempted. I just get tempted to do things. God says, change company. Get you some new friends. Get you some new places to go. Get you some new places to hang out. See, God always makes a way. Here's the issue. We don't always want to take the way that God provides. One of the rewards of secret prayer is knowing the presence of God is with us in all circumstances and in all situations, whatever they may be, and God makes the way of escape. That's huge in knowing that. So we're scripturally taught to get along with God. Tell him all about your troubles. Tell him all about your life. I'm not talking about people. Tell God all about it, though he already knows. You need to articulate from your mouth, articulate from your heart, articulate from your spirit. God, I need you. It's personal between you and God. Get alone. Get undisturbed. Avoid interruptions and disturbances. Get alone. Get unheard. And concentrate. And allow God the freedom to work in your heart as he wishes. Have you ever really tried God? Have you ever had a situation where God says, this right here is what you need to do, and you go, nah, that's not for me. We do it all the time, don't we? When will we say, I hear you, God. I hear what you're saying. And I've spent all my life listening to people. I've spent all my life listening to myself. I've spent all my life trying everything but God. Trust him. The power of his presence rewards us openly, knowing that God is always with us. The power of his presence is there. I'm not talking about people who reject God. I'm not talking about people who pretend that they know God. I'm talking about people who love God, people whose hearts belong to him. He rewards openly. Achievements, victories in Christ, deliverances from evil, innumerable conversions, when preaching is going on, transformation of souls, on and on and on. God rewards us with his presence. Samuel cried all night. Moses fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and God was with them through his presence. Now, fourthly, there's the reward of peace. How many of you don't raise your hand, raise your heart? How many of you like to have a little peace? It's a little tranquility. Got turbulence in your life. You want it to go away. It doesn't go away. I got some breaking news for you. God may not make your turbulence go away. He'll just give you peace in the midst of your turbulence. You won't get that outside of private, secret prayer. Here's a principle. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Here it is. The Bible says, be careful for for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious about things. Get all worked up. Get overly concerned about things that you shouldn't do. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, watch this, in everything by prayer and by supplication, that's asking, with thanksgiving, it says what? Let your requests be made known to God. Not something, everything. Give it all to God. Let it all be known to God in that private time, in that secret place, in that closet, when you shut that door. Now watch what happens. The Bible says when you do that, here it is, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may say, well, I prayed that prayer, but I still got that problem. God didn't promise you the problem go away. He said he'd give you peace in the midst of the problem. Okay? How many of you have prayed to God about a situation and God gave you peace about it and the situation is still going on, but you know in your heart it's going to be all right? No worrying about that no more. Moving on now. Why? Because God gives me confidence, and peace is nothing but confidence that God is in control of my situation. God is in control of my circumstance. God is in control of everything that is going on around me. And you know, some people look at you and they'll put this on you, and if you're not careful, you'll fall for it. Watch this. God will give you peace about a situation, and here it comes. It looks something like this sometimes. Oh, I get it. You just don't care no more. Oh, I get it. You're just not interested no more. No, no. God has given me peace about a situation. I'm moving on in peace. Listen, trusting God, trusting God's timing, trusting God's word, trusting God's power, trusting God's will, trusting God's way, and I'll wait for my change to come. Waiting on God. The reward of peace is one of the rewards of private prayer. Maintaining peace in the Christian life will always come through the means of prayer. The charge here is for the believer not to worry about things, but to pray about things. The church at Philippi in that situation had every trial imaginable. When you read the book of Philippians, they had everything imaginable going on in their lives. Persecution, false teaching, disunity, carnality, prideful members, on and on and on and on and on. And the word of God comes to them and says, well, don't worry about those things. Put your trust in God and watch what he'll do. He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. Some folk can't sleep at night for worrying. Some folk have long nights. Don't raise your hand. Long nights. Some folk have even longer days. You know why? Because they have no peace. And worrying them is worrying them into poor health. God's peace is the answer to worry. The answer to anxiety. Worrying can cause a multitude of problems, folks. Poor health, depression, discouragement, emotional problems, sinful backslide. I can go on and on and on what worrying can do. The Bible says, don't worry. Pray. Spend time in prayer and learn the reward of peace. Now, the peace that God gives, watch this. I want to give my qualifier again. Listen, it is totally foreign to the unsaved person. The peace that Paul is speaking about in this book of Philippians is totally foreign to the unbeliever. The unbeliever knows nothing about this peace, because the peace that God gives is the peace that comes even in the middle of the storm. Remember when Jesus was out there on that boat, watch this, and the Bible says the disciples was out there, and here comes this big storm, and Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep, and finally they decided, we need to wake Jesus up. Now, I'm paraphrasing, so can I have a little fun here, okay, without violating the text? Jesus going, yeah, what do you want? And the Bible says, here's this storm of hurricane force that's going on right in their midst. And they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus is in the back of the boat, asleep. And when he woke up, the first thing he said to them was this. He says, don't you have any faith? Why are you worrying about this? I'm in the same boat you are. I'm in your presence. I'm here with you. I've never left you. The only reason why you're in this boat is because I told you to get in it. The only reason why we're in the boat together is because I told you to get in it. Now I'm joining you, and we've got this storm going on, and you're worried about the storm. Jesus got up, and the Bible says he spoke to the wind and the waves, and the Bible says they laid down right in their midst. My friend, don't you know that God can do the same thing in your life? Michael Jackson, that world-renowned entertainer, of everything that he had and of everything that he accomplished, you know the one thing he could not get? A good night's sleep. No peace. All that fame, all that fortune, all he wanted was a good night's rest. And you know the rest of that story. And some of us are professing Christians, and we can't even get a good night's sleep. I suggest to you, spend some time in prayer. Close the door and give it all to God. The Bible says in Psalms 29 and 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. Here it is. The Lord will bless his people. Not anybody. His people with what? Peace. The Lord will do that. Spend time with him in prayer. The reward of power, the reward of provision, the reward of presence, the reward of peace. Fifthly and finally, there is the reward of purpose. Knowing your purpose in life. Here's a principle. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us, talking about believers, the spirit of fear, says, but of love, of power rather, and of love, and of a sound mind. You see, one of the rewards of prayer is learning who you are in Christ. One of the rewards of private prayer is knowing what God has given you. And so many Christians run through life, and they're waiting on somebody else to tell them what God has given them. You can know for yourself. Private prayer is between you and God, between me and God, between us and God. And in that relationship and in that commitment and in that secret time and in that quiet time, God makes known to us what our purpose is in life. Who we are as a man, who we are as a woman, who we are as a boy, who we are as a girl. More importantly, who we are as believers in Christ Jesus. Some of us don't even know our purpose. We give these blank statements that sound good. They're nice and saucy. What's your purpose? My purpose is to glorify God. Well, what does that look like in your life? What does that look like on your job? What does that look like in your family? What does that look like in your workplace? Some of you say, I'm a man of God. My purpose is to lead my family. Well, what does that look like in your family? What does that look like in your life and in your responsibilities? Private prayer. One of the rewards of private prayer is the reward of purpose. Paul told this young preacher, let me tell you what you've not been given. You've not been given the spirit of fear. You ever had this happen? You said, man, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You ever wore that tag? You know, you grow up around people, you're around people, and you start talking about aspirations and dreams and things that you'd like to do. Listen, that's not gonna happen for you. And you know what? You buy into the lie. See, instead of searching God's word and finding out what God's word says who I am, you let other people define you. And if you're not careful, you buy into that lie. Okay? Watch this. You grew up in a neighborhood, and let's say that neighborhood is crime-ridden, or let's say that neighborhood is prosperous, whatever it might be. And if you're not careful, you'll buy into a lie that says that you are going to be what your surroundings say you're going to believe. No, as a believer, we're going to be what God has called us to become. Called us to become according to his word. I don't know about you, but as a child, I was told I'd be in jail before it's over with. Well, I've been in jail a lot of times visiting. Visiting. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. And if God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, then why are you fearful? If God says, I've not given you the spirit of worry, then why do you worry? If God says, I have given you the spirit of love and power and a sound mind, then why aren't we operating in love and power and a sound mind? Because the word of God says, that's what I've given you. But so many don't know because they refuse to spend time in secret prayer. Prayer must be sincere, thoroughly sincere. Again, the door must be shut against any and all distractions so that we can hear God and not bring before him a divided mind, a divided heart, a divided intent. In the secrecy of prayer, where the person stands before God, stripped, listen, of every disguise, stripped of every pretense, stripped of every disillusion, and spiritually naked before God, that's when we get it right. We make our confessions fully and freely. We offer our gratitudes for his mercy that we've never earned, we've never deserved. We draw strength for a new life that we never understood until we got personal with God. One of the rewards of prayer is to know your purpose. The world is too profane. Don't go to the world trying to discover who you are. The world is too wishy-washy. Don't go to the world because it's a moving target. It'll change its mind on you every time. Go to God and trust him. And the sound mind is the reward of all of those who spend prayer time with God. Privately. Let me ask you this question. What's your private prayer like? Occasional? Sporadic? Hardly ever? What's your intent when you go before God? Rubber stamp something you've cooked up? Bless something you've come up with? Make something wonderfully happen because you see it that way? What does your prayer look like this? You know, going before God and desiring what God desires. Desiring to know the will of God. Desiring to pray, Lord, not my will be done in my life, but your will be done in my life. Having the confidence in knowing that the things that I'm bringing before God are transparent, they're true, they are me. And more important than anything, I'm praying in the known will of God. And I have the confidence in knowing that when I pray in the will of God, he answers that prayer in his time and in his way and according to his purposes. Amen? Let's give God some praise today. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word that reveals to us that there are awesome, awesome rewards to private prayer. Move us as a body of believers. Move us as those who trust you to close our doors and spend quality time with you. Close our doors and bring before you an undivided heart. Close our doors and learn to trust you in ways we've never trusted you before. That your will is realized in our lives. And the realization of that we see openly in the life that we live, openly. In the way we conduct ourselves openly, in the way we treat one another openly, in the way that we give you praise and glory and honor for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.